All right, so the Greek word for pray, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but I'm going to say it with confidence, is prosekomai. That sounds right, right? My Spanish accent helps a little. The Greek translation for this out of the Strong's Dictionary is properly to exchange wishes, literally to interact with the Lord by switching human wishes for his wishes as he imparts faith. There's another definition that I like a little better for us, more practical today. It's from Chuck Smith, from Pastor Chuck's little booklet called Effective Prayer Life. He defines prayer in three parts. Prayer is, first of all, worship. Thanks and praise to God for his love, his goodness, his grace, recognizing how he blesses us, and giving him praise. And worship is not just singing, right? It is when we just spontaneously praise him, right? We worship him. That's considered prayer. Number two is petition, right? This is our personal requests that we need to bring to God daily. We ask for his strength, his wisdom. We ask for him to provide, to heal, to reveal himself to us. That is known as petition. And then the third part of the definition of prayer is intercession. And that is where we reach out to pray for others. We bring their needs before the throne of God. We pray for family, for friends, for those who do not know Jesus. We pray for the body of Christ as a whole. Pastor Chuck notes that this type of prayer is generally considered work. Why? Because it takes time and it takes sacrifice. If you've already got your Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians, you're going to go to chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 12, and we're going to go over first verses 12 through 15, and then 19 through 22 in a section that I've titled, Getting Our Hearts Right for Prayer. We're starting in verse 12, which reads, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." So the first thing we're told is to recognize, to give encouragement and praise where it is due to those who labor among you, those who serve alongside of you, right? To encourage one another. We are also told to recognize those who are over you in the Lord. So this could refer to, obviously, right, like deacons or elders, anyone who is over you in ministry, even a spiritual mentor. But after that, then it says, those who admonish you. Admonish means to warn or reprimand someone firmly. Okay, so who here likes to be reprimanded? Okay, right? Most of us don't like to be reprimanded. It's usually not fun. The prideful person certainly does not like to be reprimanded. Who doesn't mind being reprimanded? A humble soul, right? The humble person. Jesus is our perfect example of humility. Philippians 2 says of Jesus, "But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant." We need to seek to be humble like Jesus. And ladies, I think this is perhaps the biggest challenge for us as believers. If there's one huge thing, one nugget of truth that I feel the Lord really spoke to my heart over and over and over about as I prepared this study, it was this. It was that humility is essential for effective prayer. And pride is very, very sneaky. It is hard. Corey talked a little bit about Facebook, you know, and other social medias. It's not that you shouldn't do it, right? It's that we need to be careful. Like Corey said, post before you pray. So many things in our world, everything. Sorry, pray before you post. Pray before you post. You could also post before you pray. Because as we're going to talk about a little bit, we're praying all the time, you see, so I really did mean to say that. We pray before, we're praying after, we're praying without ceasing. Pray before you post. right? So many things in this world encourage us to be prideful and point us to me, right? Be careful, be careful. Verse 14 goes on to say, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Search for ways to get along with and encourage others. Don't be so quick to get back at someone who has done you wrong or has done something bad to you, right? Take it to Jesus first. Don't go complaining about it to your BFF or to anyone." Skip down to verse 19 now. We're going to go back up in a minute, but verse 19. "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Do not quench the spirit. What does that mean? Listen and obey the Holy Spirit's promptings when he tugs at you to do something. The definition of quench is to extinguish or to snuff out. That's the last thing we want to do to the Holy Spirit, right? We don't want to extinguish or try to snuff it out. We want to listen and be open to what he's telling us. We're told to not despise prophecy. What does that mean? Like the first time I read that, I thought, do not despise prophecy. Like the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. I hate that. What does that mean? Do not despise prophecy. That's not what it means, right? That's an awesome prophecy. We love Christmas. Do not despise prophecy as in God's word, right? The book that is hopefully sitting in front of you right now. We would likely not despise God's word as we read it, right? But when someone speaks prophecy to us, and it is in fact God's word, it is truth, it lines up with what the Bible says. When someone speaks that to you, take it, accept it, listen to it. Don't push it away because of your pride. We can be so quick to straighten up our backs and defend ourselves when someone comes to us with something. Listen. Listen and ask the Lord, Jesus, is this something that I need to fix in my life? Is this something that really you need to fix in my life? So why does Paul spend all this time telling us to be peacemakers, to be patient, to be respectful and loving to those who serve over you, loving to those who admonish you, not to go after someone who did you wrong? Why does he tell us all these things before we're commanded to pray without ceasing? Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 reads, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins, have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." When we live, practice daily, unconfessed, repeated sin in our life that we don't repent from, we ignore, we quench the spirit, we despise prophecy, our prayers, God's word says, not Terry, God's word says our prayers are not heard. And if they're not heard, then they can't be answered. What a bummer, right? We don't want to be there. That is so not where we want to be. James 5:16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." There's where we want to be. There's where we want to be. Keep short accounts with God. If you know you've done something wrong, it's left you with that icky feeling, you know the feeling I'm talking about, where it's just like you have this icky feeling inside, you know in your heart something's not right, and you're holding on to something. Maybe you have something against someone, especially a brother or sister in Christ. Go to Jesus first. Go to Jesus. then go to that person and make it right. Make it right. Be at peace among yourselves, Paul told us. Don't let anything hinder your prayer to God. It needs to be a sweet and pleasant aroma to him. Okay? All right, so point number two. Pray nonstop. Why don't we? Why don't we? All right, verses 16 through 18. Let's find out why don't we. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Even in the darkest storms of life, there's always reason to rejoice, right? The first part of that verse, rejoice always. I don't care what you're going through. There is always reason to rejoice. Why? The hope of heaven, right? The best is yet to come. We just hate waiting for it. But we know it's coming, right? We know it is. All right, then the meat, the yummy part of our study. Pray without ceasing. Really? Like, really? Is that literal? You know, we know some parts of the Bible are literal, some are not. Pray without ceasing, like, at all? We have to sleep, we have to eat. Pray without ceasing? In Matthew 26, the disciples could not even stay awake to pray with Jesus for 1 hour. They fell asleep. Pray nonstop. Do we really need to pray constantly? Yes, absolutely. The answer is yes. Why? One word, Satan. Satan. In his book, How to Pray, by R.A. Torrey. Torrey was, I believe, a contemporary of Moody. He was a turn-of-the-century evangelist. He writes this, but why is this constant, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer so needful? Well, first of all, because there is a devil. He is cunning. He is mighty. He never rests. He is ever plotting the downfall of the child of God. That's you. If I did the fill in your name, Corey. He is ever plotting the downfall of, say your name. Scary? It should be, a little bit, right? And if the child of God relaxes in prayer, the devil will succeed in ensnaring him. Ephesians 6:12 reminds us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. That chapter, Ephesians 6, goes on to tell us about the armor of God, right? And how to fight to victory. To victory. You know, there's a reason that we're not called prayer people or prayer carriers. No, no. We're called prayer warriors because it's a battle. It's a fight. You have a child facing a stronghold, maybe a worldly temptation that's pulling them away. You have a marriage falling apart. You have a dear friend who's going through hell right now. Oh, we cry, Lord, please, please, Maranatha, please come get us. Come take us away from this junk. We don't want it anymore. But until that moment, we're stuck here and we must pray. Pray, pray. Yes, pray without ceasing. Absolutely. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:18, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Could we make it any clearer? Pray without ceasing. Pray always. I think there are three, there's probably many more, but three main reasons that we don't pray all the time. Why don't we? I think these are three reasons that we don't. I could have also titled these three of Satan's favorite tools in his arsenal against prayer, right? The first one is lack of time. I had initially titled it until my dear friend said, Terry, it's not lack of time. It's lack of time management. I know, that's what I did. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. It is lack of time, .. management. We've got to make time to pray. We must make time to pray. And we have no better example and encourager of this than Jesus. We just read in our quiet time in John 17 about Jesus praying for us what was perhaps his most fervent prayer that he prayed for us the night before he went to the cross. But during his earthly life, Jesus made praying to God the Father a priority, one he made time for. Mark 1:35 says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he, Jesus, went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Luke 6:12 says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." This is our Savior as a man here on this earth, still as God, but as a man, setting this example for us to pray. Now, I read these verses, and I am like the biggest sleep hog on the face of the earth. I love my sleep. It is so precious to me. I just love my favorite time of the day is nighttime when I pull my comforter up and my kids are asleep and everything's done, the dishes are done, and I close my eyes on my Egyptian cotton sheets. It is the best time of the day for me. I love sleep, maybe a little too much. So I read these verses. Jesus, you know, he prayed a lot, and he sacrificed sleep to pray, and I think, oh, is there any other way? There's got to be another way. Because I have these beautiful visions of me getting up, like half an hour, not hours, not 6 or 7 hours, right? Jesus doesn't want us to stay up all night and pray, okay, just in case you guys took that part literal. You don't have to do that. You can. It'd be awesome, but you don't have to. But I have these visions of myself getting up, like 30 minutes early, just 30 minutes, getting my coffee and my Bible. I know this is what some of you do. I don't get you guys. But getting my coffee and my Bible and sitting down and praying, like fervently. I'm a prayer warrior. I am, but mornings are just so hard for me. But, you know, sometimes we forget that the results of our prayer, our sacrifice and our prayer, the results are life-changing. When we pray, we're changing destinies. We're changing eternity for people, right? It changes families. Prayer changes marriages. It changes little hearts and the youngest little bodies that are being shaped and formed for Jesus. All those benefits surely outweigh, right, the pleasure of my sleep. And I think all those reasons are so worth me getting up a little earlier out of bed. So, you know, as I went through this study, I was so convicted because I'm a prayer warrior, but God showed me this week that there are so many things that it's like he, in his grace and mercy, he gave me insight into things that I should be praying for and I'm not, and I need to now. I need to start praying now, and he showed me why. It was kind of a scary thing, but it was a blessing because it opened my eyes. And I thought, you know what, okay, I'm not going to get up an hour early in the morning. It's just not going to happen. But you know what I can try and start to do? First of all, I can pray for God to help me get up early. Sometimes we think we can't pray for those things that we need God's help to do. He knows I can't get up. So my first prayer needs to be, help me to get up in the morning, right? So you know what I did this week is I got up a little early. You know, it was, I'm going to be honest with you, it was 5 minutes. It was five stinking minutes. But I got up 5 minutes early. And we can pray at other times of the day. We're going to talk about that. You don't have to be a get-up morning prayer warrior, but so many benefits when you do it first thing in the morning. I got up 5 minutes early, and I prayed fervently for my family. And it was awesome. It was a blessed time. I prayed at other times of the day, too. But, you know, if you can start out just with a few minutes, and then pretty soon that 5 minutes will turn into 10 minutes, and that 10 minutes will turn into 15 minutes. And pretty soon, you won't be able to start the day without that prayer time with Jesus. And then when you start to see the answers to your prayers, the effect that your prayers are having on your dear loved ones that you're pouring your heart out for, then you get it. Then you get it. Make time to pray, okay? Doesn't have to be in the morning, like I said. And if you're so busy, you really struggle with carving out that time, I'm going to share some real little simple stuff. Simple, practical prayer tips that might help you guys a little, okay? So lack of time management, number one, the reason we don't pray always. Number two, lack of faith. Lack of faith. We either limit God and we doubt that he can really do what we're asking him to do, or we just get discouraged. It sounds silly standing up here on the stage at a women's retreat saying we doubt that God can really do what we're asking him to do, but we do it all the time. We do it all the time. I can't tell you how many times I will think about something, worry about something in my head. I will let it churn, and it'll like be in my mind for maybe even 2 full minutes. That's a long time, you know, when I think. 2 full minutes I will worry and wonder and then move on to something else and not take it to prayer. Why? Because it's just too big of a problem for God. He's God. He can do certain things, like, you know, make a world and stuff, but not this, not this. Doubt is sneaky. Doubt is sneaky, right? We lack faith sometimes. We think God just can't do it. Another reason we get discouraged, maybe God doesn't answer as quickly as we'd like, or he doesn't answer in the way we would like. In 1 Samuel, you can read about Hannah, who prayed and prayed for a son, right, to take away her shame and infertility. She had really mean Peninnah, who was so mean and making fun of her all the time, because Peninnah had all the kids, and Hannah was Elkanah's other wife, and she couldn't have kids. No doubt she prayed a long time to have kids. But then she prays for a son to give back to God. She prays with a slightly different heart motive, and boom, there comes Samuel. God answers her prayer, but God waited for her, right? He had made her infertile, unable to have gods. He wanted her to pray just a little bit differently, and she did, and he granted her prayer. For years and years, I would pray and pray for God to send my husband good, godly, strong Christian friends. My husband was saved in a once-saved, always-saved Baptist church in New England, and I have long prayed for him to have that intimate walk with Jesus, and I thought, Lord, if you could just send him some Christian friends, please, like godly men who can invite him to Bible study, and they can come over and talk about Jesus, and well, the problem was, and I prayed this for several years, right? I was praying this for him. Why? Because I wanted a better, nicer, more godly husband. So I prayed for years and years. No kidding, you guys. Standing up there, it feels like I prayed for a day. But it was years and years. And these ungodly men with ungodly influences were coming around hanging with my husband. I was like, God, what's going on? I am praying. I'm on my knees. I'm just pouring my heart out to you. And one day I felt like the Lord told me, Terry, I will send your husband godly friends, but first you have to become his godly friend. I know. I was just like, darn it. Really? I was a pretty okay wife, but I wasn't being my husband's friend. I'm going to take off my earrings because I'm doing that. Dingle dangle. May you newlyweds or gals who aren't married, you may not get it when we talk about being your husband's friend, but you guys have been married for a long time. You get it, right? You have to be your husband's friend. We can love our husbands, but sometimes it's hard to like them. Sometimes it's so hard to like them. And God showed me how I wasn't really being my husband's godly friend. And he said, start doing that, and then you'll start seeing answers to your prayer. Like, darn it, I was hindering my own prayers, right? But God is so amazing and so full of grace to show me that. A lot of times we struggle with faith, with just believing God can do it, right? Mark 11, 22 through 24. Mark 11, 22 through 24 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Jeremiah 32 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Sometimes it's a lack of faith caused by the fact that you've grown weary. You're just tired. You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed for that person, or you've prayed for the situation for so long, and then you just Lord, I prayed the different versions of these words. I prayed it backwards and forwards. I've added words. I've taken away words. I prayed in tongues. I prayed this way and that way, and I'm just done. I'm just done. Anybody here been there? Anybody there? Are there? Is there? Turn with me quickly to Daniel chapter 10. Everybody, if you have your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 10. The first time I heard this passage taught, it freaked me out in the most amazing way. Freaked me out. Daniel chapter 10, I'm going to give you 5 more seconds. Daniel toward the end of the Old Testament, before some of the literal prophets. Daniel chapter 10, there's another awesome example of a prayer warrior for us. Right? Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. We're just going to read 12 through, 14-ish. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself," there's that word humble, "to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. I have come, Daniel, because of your prayer. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now, tired and breathing heavy because I've been wrestling, now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come." Okay, so this person telling Daniel, do not fear, right, is either an angel or Jesus. I think it's an angel, okay, and some unnamed angel. We don't know all of them, right? But this angel comes to Daniel and says, hey, from the first words you spoke, from the very first day you prayed, God heard you. God heard you. But Daniel couldn't necessarily see that his prayers were being answered. He couldn't see the results because he was only able to look with earthly eyes, right? He couldn't see what was going on in the spiritual realm, just like we can't see, ladies. Sometimes I wish that we could just for a minute, like, get these special glasses, right? We could put them on, and just for a few seconds, because I think we'd be so scared we would pee our pants, but just for a few seconds, we could see what is going on in the spiritual realm around us. There is a battle going on. There is a battle going on, and so often it is fueled by our prayers. When we pray, we set things in motion. What if Daniel had stopped praying? Whoops, what if my microphone had fallen off? What if Daniel had stopped praying? Would this angel ever made his way to him? What have you stopped praying for? Maybe there was a time you were fervently praying, crying, wailing even out to the Lord, praying and praying. But then, because you couldn't see any results, you stopped and you gave up. Let me encourage you to start praying again, not only for that, but for many other things, for many people, right? For souls, for eternities that need to be changed. God is on the move. Angels are on the move. We just can't always see it. You've got to trust that God hears you, that he's listening, and that he's answering. But sometimes, and you're not going to like this, sometimes it takes us accepting the reality that we will be praying for that person or we will be praying for that situation until the day Jesus comes for us. Some of those things, I know, we want to see results now while we're here. We want to pray, we want to see the results, we want to see that person saved now, but they may not be saved. Maybe until the giant hailstones are falling on them because of your prayers. That situation might not be changed until you leave this earth by rapture or by death. But are you willing to pray, to keep on praying until your last day on this earth? Are you willing to do that? It takes perseverance, right? It's hard. Keep praying. Keep praying. Don't stop. Be a Daniel. Okay, lack of faith, lack of knowledge, right, is, I think, our last. Yes. Lack of knowledge or lack of the power of prayer, I think, sometimes keeps us from praying. The power of prayer is found when we pray in the Spirit. Now, if you're a newer believer, or maybe you're not a believer yet, the Holy Spirit can be a little difficult, confusing maybe, to understand. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of God in the Trinity. When you become a believer and you profess Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit resides inside of you. He lives in you. And with him comes great power. John 14, 16, and 17 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit teaches us. He inspires us. He guides our prayers, which we so need, because how in the world do we know how to converse with the Creator of the universe, right? We don't. We don't have a clue. The Holy Spirit teaches us, guides us. We need the Holy Spirit for that which our flesh has no clue and is completely powerless. We are praying for a dear friend right now who's going through something really icky and bad. And we've been praying, "Lord, take it from her. Take it from her. Just take it from her." And the Holy Spirit is guiding us now to say, "Okay, the yucky thing is here, God. Let's use it to strengthen her, to grow fruit in her life, get her through this season," right? It's the Holy Spirit that's guiding us how we need to be praying for our friend. Sometimes we lack the knowledge of the power of prayer or even how to pray. James chapter 4 tells us, "You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask, you do not receive because you ask amiss." We don't pray in God's will. We forget so often that God knows best. He wants the best for us. One final reason we do not pray without ceasing, I have to be honest, I do not get this one, but I've had people tell me this all the time, is we don't have anything to pray for, or we don't know what to pray for. I've been in Bible studies before where we go around our little circle sharing prayer requests, and have you guys been there? You get to the person, and they're like, "I don't really have a prayer request." You're like, "You have a pulse? What's going on? Oh, serious? You don't have a prayer? I don't understand." But listen, okay, but if that's you, maybe you honestly, you don't know what to pray for. Okay, that's okay. Pray for those who do not have the hope of heaven. We all know people who are headed to hell, right? I don't think all of us live completely in a church Christian bubble, right? We all know people who need prayer, who need the hope of heaven. We are here to pray for them so that they will know that there is so much more to life than just this earth. 2 Peter 3:9. Right, Pastor Robert quotes this a lot. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." All right, so our final point, point number 3, the real blessing of prayer, verses 23 and 24. We are back now, if you're still in Daniel, flip back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Sanctified. Corey talked about being sanctified, right? Being made purer and purer and purer, a process that never ends until we see his face. It makes us more like Jesus every day. Prayer keeps us close to God. It keeps us in his presence. He who calls you is faithful, that last part of the passage we just read says. I love how Joel Rosenberg says, we serve a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. We serve a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. The true blessing of prayer is it keeps us at his feet, by his side. That is the intimate time that we spend with Jesus, right? It's not just time asking for things, Lord, give me this, give me that, right? It's the precious time that's spent talking with him, pouring out our hearts for our own needs and for others' needs. I love this quote. I'm not sure where I got it from, but it's not mine. There is no greater joy on earth or in heaven than communion with God. And prayer in the name of Jesus brings us into communion with him. And Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Prayer keeps us in his presence. All right, quickly, if you have your sheet that says practical prayer points, if you want to jot down a couple, you can. If you are a prayer warrior, this isn't for you. Spend time praying for the ladies at your table. But if you used to be a prayer warrior, or you're just so busy you just can't find the prayer, you want time, you want to pray, you want to spend that time with Jesus, you've got a whole list of stuff to pray for. It's just so hard to find the time because you're busy. Okay, so let God maybe use some of these to help you get back into that prayer warrior season and mode, okay? Not all prayer is going to be spent on our knees or sitting quietly, right? But we absolutely need to dedicate a daily quiet time to spend with Jesus, to be in his word, to pray and to listen to what he might have to tell us. Even if your quiet time starts out just 5 or 10 minutes a day, that's okay, all right? Take what you can. God will take it. It's beautiful to him. And he'll give you more time. He'll lengthen it. But quiet time is so important, ladies, because we need to be able to hear him. Billy Graham said, prayer is simply a two-way conversation between you and God. Sometimes we can forget that, right? As a new believer, I remember reading that quote and thinking, I need to listen. That's two parts to it, right? Two parts, two-way conversation. Sometimes we forget that second part because we're too busy. We can't hear God whisper when we're running around doing a million things, right? You need that quiet time. Number two, designate a prayer closet, right? A place where you can focus on prayer, a special place in your house that is just for Jesus. Mine is on my bed, but don't lie down. Don't lie down. Do not lie down, okay? In Matthew 6, Jesus teaches us how to pray, and he says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. All right? Next practical prayer point. Try not to make bedtime when you lay down with your Egyptian cotton sheets and you go to sleep. Try not to make that your only prayer time of the day. Yes, absolutely pray at bedtime, but try not to make that your only time, right? God doesn't want our sleepy, energy-deprived bodies. He doesn't want that to be the only time we dedicate to him, right? And it shouldn't, right? He's worthy of so much more, right? We should go to him with our 100%, our everything, when we go before him in prayer. Next, don't worry if you don't have a nice, long, quiet sit-down time to open up your Bible and set everything up. Some days are busy and it's just not going to happen. That's okay, right? I was raised Catholic. Don't feel guilty, right? All of us, we feel really guilty when that happens because as Catholics, we were taught you don't do that. You know, you're going straight to hell if you don't have that quiet time. You miss one day of something, you are out of there, right? That's not the way it works, right? Jesus wants us to talk to him all throughout the day, all the time. Quick, brief prayers are beautiful to him, okay? He loves to hear from us. That's part of how we keep that prayer conversation going on all day long, all right? Next one, this might seem obvious, but write down a prayer list. Sometimes we can get paranoid about keeping lists in our Christian walk because we don't want to get routine or make it a ritual. No. Write it down, right? So you remember, this isn't what happens with a prayer list. It's a reminder. We need reminders, okay? Some prayer requests are so heavy, they're already written right here. We don't need to write them down. They are right here on our hearts always. But there are other things that we do need to write down because people need prayer, right? When someone says, pray for you, write it down on your list so you remember, right? I have a prayer list I keep by my bed. My daughter and I have a prayer list just for things we're praying for that are kind of things that she, you know, we're praying for together as a mother and daughter. Encourage your kids to pray. Pray with your kids, but also encourage your kids to pray alone, right? Just them and Jesus, so important. Next one, journal. Sometimes writing down prayers is more your thing. Some of you are not talkers. I'm a talker. My friends know that. I talk. I talk, 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 talk to Jesus all the time. I'm verbal. I'm just a verbal person. God bless me with a daughter who's verbal too. Ay, ay, ay. So, but some of you guys, well, she's also, she's a talker and a writer now that I think about it. But anyway, but journal. Some of you guys are going to be able to pour out your hearts to Jesus when you write. Write a letter to God. Just write to him. Write to him. Sometimes that makes things stick more when you write them down, right? Designate a daily time to pray for specific concerns, little times. When I go pick up my daughter at 3 o'clock, my drive from my house to the school is spent specifically praying for my husband's job and his work situation, that God would bless it, that if it's not the right job, he would find him another one, that you know, my husband's boss would bless the work of his hands. That's the time I specifically pray for that specific purpose. Maybe there's something you want to designate. If your day gets busy and crazy, I know without a doubt that that drive is going to be spent praying for that purpose, and that that worry on my heart is going to get, you know, 10 to 12 minutes of prayer that day, because that's just that little time I've designated. When I drop my girls off at school, if I go right back to my car, I always stop at the steering wheel before. I turn on the ignition, I take 5 minutes, and I pray for my girls. I pray for my safety, say safety of the school. I pray for my girls, for their teachers, for their classmates, for that day. Designate little times of the day for special little individual prayers, okay? It'll help you remember, and you won't forget, okay? We're almost done. Second to last one. Pray up, I call it. Pray up during the mountaintop seasons. Everything great right now for you? Everything's great and you're wonderful, you're on the mountaintop? Awesome. Don't neglect your prayer time just because everything's going wonderful. Pray, 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 because the valley is coming. It's coming. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's coming. Okay? That's the world we live in. Pray up during your mountaintop season so that when valleys come, you are strong, your roots are firmly grounded, and you're ready for the storm. How to pray? Talk to God like you would talk to your friend, like you're picking up the phone, you're pouring out your heart to him. Especially for new believers, those of us who are prayer warriors, we forget this. But you remember the first time you prayed, you didn't really know how to pray to God. What did you say? Did you have to say thou all the time and oh, thou wonderful heavenly Father? No, of course not, right? He wants to be your best friend. Talk to God, chat to him. He wants to be your best friend. Talk to him like your BFF, okay? But with a respect and a sovereignty, right? Because he is your Lord, your Father God. All right, and don't think of prayer time as that formal beginning and end. Okay, I'm going to pray now, Lord. I prayed. Now I'm done. My prayer time is over. Prayer time is continual throughout the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There is no end to our prayer, okay? I want to leave you with an awesome verse, Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That is like the ultimate prayer verse for prayer. Pray, go before the throne of grace and let him hear what is on your heart.